And let's welcome up our pastor.
Thanks, Bill. Well, good morning again. Let's turn to Ephesians chapter 4. And Brian, if you can turn the fan lights back on. Thank you, brother. You see everything from up here. Ephesians chapter 4. Now, we have been looking at verses 1 through 16 for the last 16 weeks. No, for the last 7. And we will finish it this morning, God willing. We did first service, so we will complete it here. You know, I'm tempted to read all 16 verses, and so that's what I'm going to do this morning with us. We're only in the end of verse 15 and 16 this morning, but let's just kind of regather our thoughts here of this whole thing. Remember, we're starting the section here in Ephesians of the walk, and we see that there. The walk, and here we're talking about the walk of harmony, and you'll notice in verse 17, which we won't go there this morning, we'll start there next week, again the word walk comes up, and he talks about the walk of purity there, and then in verse 5, in chapter 5, verse 1, again you see that word walk, and then there in verse 8 of chapter 5, again, you see the word walk, and then in verse 15, walk, and so, we're in this section of the practical side of our conduct. That's what the word walk means, of how we are to live. So we pick it up in verse 1 of chapter 4. It says, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you to have a walk worthy of the call by which you've been called, with all lowliness and gentleness, with long-suffering, bearing with one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. But to each one of us, grace was given according to the measure of Christ's gift. Therefore, he says, when he ascended on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts to men. Now this he ascended. What does it mean that he also first descended into the lower parts of the earth? He who descended is also the one who ascended far above the heavens, that he might fill all in all. And he gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers, for the equipping of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come to the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we should no longer be children tossed to and fro and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by the trickery of men and the cunning craftiness in which they lie in wait to deceive. But speaking the truth in love, may grow up into all things into him who is the head, Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and knit together by what every joint supplies, according to the effect of working by which every part does its share, causes growth for the body of the edifying of itself in love. Would you pray with me? Father, we do, Lord, and I just ask this morning that we would edify ourselves in love. God, that we would build ourselves up. Lord, as we look at your word, we see a biblical view of church growth. Lord, going from being an infant to a mature Christian. Lord, we're distracted today with so many other ideas of what it is to grow. And Lord, we just pray that we would be a spiritual people. A people, God, that would be getting closer and closer to you. A people that would be being separated, Lord, from the world and separated unto you. God, I pray that you would just minister to us. Lord, this morning as we come to the close of this series we've been doing on the church, which is your body. This concept of the body, Lord, and we look at our place, where we fit in the body. I just pray that you would, God, just fill us, Lord, with your heart. And that you just show us, Lord, what you have. And pour out your Spirit, Lord, amongst us. And Lord, we just pray now that you would do your will and do your work. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen, amen. Well, the body. That's what we're talking about this morning. The growth of the body. And we want to look at three main areas this morning in this last couple verses here in this section. And the first one is our source of growth. That's what he talks about, the head being our source of growth. And then verse 16, we'll see our service to the Lord, our service to the Lord. And then thirdly, we will see our sincerity to one another. And so let's look at this. First of all, nine times in the book of Ephesians, we find the word body, alluding to the body of Christ. Once, and would be the tenth time. One time it's referred to a physical body. But nine times in a book that really has 155 verses, if you count all the verses in Ephesians, there's 150. That's not a lot of verses. To have nine times, I mean, six chapters, that's more than one time a chapter. So clearly the book is really about that. And we saw in the first three chapters of the wealth, the riches that we have in Christ. Why were the body of Christ? Because of what Christ has done. In chapter 1, which is kind of our theme verse, verse 23, it says, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. We see the word body. In chapter 2, verse 16, it speaks of God reconciling them both to himself in one body through the cross. That today we're the body of Christ because of the cross. The mystery of the gospel in chapter 3, verse 6, the third time the word body is used, it speaks of their, what is the gospel? It's that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs of the same body and partakers of his promises in Christ through the gospel. Chapter 4, in verse 4. Now in our section, we find the word body four times in these 16 verses. Chapter 4, verse 4, it says there's one body. In verse 12, it says that there is the edifying of the body of Christ. And then in verse 16, we see that Christ is the head from whom the body comes. And then in the end of the verse, the edifying of the body it refers to. And then in chapter 5, twice, when Paul talks about marriage, he uses the body of Christ, the relationship that we have as a church with Christ, as an example of the relationship between a husband and wife. And referring to the church, he says in chapter 5, verse 23, he says, For the husband is the head of the wife, as also Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. And then in verse 30 of chapter 5, he says, we are members of his body and of his flesh and of his bones. Speaking about this analogy, that's really what it is, this analogy of the body of Christ. The body of Christ is, and as Paul does here, is he's saying that it's like a human body, and that each part, here's his point, each part of the body has many different parts, and each part represents a Christian. Last week, we looked at the analogy he gave about not the body of Christ, but the building of the church. And we looked at that, and we saw how each Christian represents a block, if you would, a stone in the building. And Christ is the chief cornerstone, and he is the one that you know we are built on and built from. He's the key to the whole building. And so here we have this analogy of the physical body, and every part of my body represents a part of God's church, but the part that represents Christ is the head. We're the building, it was the chief cornerstone. We're the body, he's the head, which obviously refers to the brain, which is that organ in the body that controls the whole body. Without the brain, if the brain is severed, there is no more life in the body. And I think it's very important for us to realize this. And so that's what I want to talk about first, is our source of growth. Look at verse 15 with me. He says there, but speaking the truth in love, we looked at that last week. He says, may grow up the church. May grow up. So the church is to grow into all things into him who is the head, Christ. Christ is the head of this body, and the body itself is to grow. And I like how it says up into Christ, the head. He says, from whom the whole body is joined and knit together by what every joint supplies according to the effective working. And he goes on. The body is to grow. Now, he uses the phrase here that the whole body is joined and knit together. Obviously, a reference to the unity, the harmony that we're to have together. If we're not working together, like a physical body, if a physical body isn't working together, the body is obviously affected. I mean, right now, as I'm speaking to you, there are so many things that are going on in my body so that I can speak. We take it for granted. We take it as normal, and it is. It's normal for the function of the body. But my brain is giving signals. Now, you know, to my mind, I mean, to my mouth, to me to be able to speak, my hand motions I'm making, the way I'm moving my feet, you know, I mean, as you think about it, a lot goes on without us really thinking about it. And then just the organs of my body and the internal part of my body so that it's properly functioning, working rightly. Everything is working well so that I can simply stand up here and talk to you. If one of those things said, no, I'm not doing it. I'm going to be severed right now from the brain. The signal of the brain will not tell me what to do. I will not be under its head. I will not be under what we call his headship and the lordship. I'm going to do what I want. I would have a real problem. And you'd probably have a problem looking at me. You know, I come up to you, you walk up to the doors of the sanctuary, and I'm standing out there, and I go to shake your hand. My brain says to my hand, reach it out, grab that other person's hand, squeeze it, not too hard. You don't want to crush their hand, especially if they're a gal. Squeeze it. Now with your mouth, say hi, you know, and smile. But my hand says, I'm not going to obey you, the brain. And, you know, my mouth does. My mouth's in submission. So my mouth says, hi, and I smile. My hand, instead of going out, goes right up, and I just punch you. Hi, how you doing? Smile. And you're like, something's wrong here. I just got clocked by the pastor. Because my hand simply said, I'm not going to listen to the brain. The source of life in the body is the brain. The source of life in the church is Christ. That's exactly what he says. That's so important for us to really understand. You see, we're not going to be a growing, healthy body of Christ if every one of us are not connected to the brain, the head. All of us need to be in relationship and fellowship and submission to Jesus Christ, or it just won't work. And you know, oftentimes it doesn't work. And it's always because we're not. We're not in submission to the Lord. That's usually the source of all of my problems. All of my spiritual problems are usually the reality of me not being submitted to the Lord. Me not walking in the Spirit. You know what walking in the Spirit means. It means that the Spirit, which is the third person of the Trinity, it means God has control over your conduct and life. The word walk, that's what it means, conduct and the way you operate in your life, and that the Holy Spirit is in control. And I'm in submission. When I'm not in submission to the Holy Spirit and I'm not walking in the Spirit, what am I doing? Galatians tells us in chapter 5, verses 16 through 23, that I'm walking in the flesh and that I'm in control. And it goes on there to list the things of the flesh and the things of the Spirit. And obviously the things of the flesh, in fact, one of them is dissension, division, problems, much the lack of unity for sure, and the lack of godliness. And so here we have God calling us to unity, but to have unity, we have to be connected to the source. Now, Paul in the New Testament uses the words he uses in verse 16 here, speaking about being joined and knitted and every joint, it says, that supplies. In Colossians chapter 2, turn there with me. Just go in your New Testament over past Ephesians, Philippians, and you'll come to Colossians. Colossians 2, remember another one of the what we call prison epistles. And in Colossians chapter 2 here, in verse 18, I want to look at verse 19. Many of the same Greek phrases that we find in Ephesians 6, chapter 4, verse 16 are found here in Colossians 2, 19. But let's pick it up in verse 18 for context. Paul's dealing with false teaching and he says, let no one defraud you of your reward. taking delight in false humility, the worship of angels, intruding in the things which they have not seen, being vainly puffed up in their fleshly minds. That's what the false teachers were doing. And then he says, verse 19, going on, and not holding fast to the head. These false teachers aren't connected to the source, from whom the whole body, he says, from whom all the body. Now he adds here, which we don't have in Ephesians, nourished, which speaks of source and speaks of growth. Nourished and knit together by what every joint, and he adds ligaments. And then he uses that phrase, which Paul uses in our Ephesians text, grows with the increase which is from God. Growth is from God. The growth in our lives. Now remember, our whole Ephesians text is about that. Remember there in chapter 4 there in verse 12 that we're to be equipped for the work of the ministry, for the building. Same idea, growing. Goes on to say that we're until we come to the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man. Remember, the word perfect means adult, mature. That's what it speaks of. Maturity. And he goes on to say, no longer tossed to and fro like children. And he uses the word for infant, children. We don't want to be infants. We want to be mature. So that's the whole flow of the context. And then verse 15, how he says, speaking the truth in love, that we might grow up into him. So the whole point is growth. So church growth, biblical church growth, is spiritual growth in the individual members within the church. That when we're growing in the Lord, and how do we grow? Well, we've already looked at it. We spent some weeks on it. We grow through the Word, you know, the study of the Word. That's how we're being equipped. We grow, obviously, through not just hearing the Word, but obeying the Word, heeding the Word of God, taking the Word of God into our lives. So we're growing spiritually. As I read to you out of Acts there, when we talked about the missions trip, that God is working. You know, they came and reported all that God had done. God is doing things in our life. And as God does things in our lives, we grow spiritually. We're becoming more like Him. We're getting closer to Him. But Jesus is the source. Jesus is the key. We've got to be connected to. John 15 uses a different illustration. John 15 uses the illustration of connected to the vine. We're in John 15. If you're taking notes, write down verses 1 through 8. John 15, verses 1 through 8. Because Jesus there uses the same, he's talking about the same thing. He's talking to his disciples. Judas has forsaken him. He's speaking to them, and he simply tells them, I am the vine, you are the branches. And he goes on to talk to them about, my Father is the vine dresser, he's the gardener, and he comes in, the branches that are bearing fruit, he prunes. That's kind of a, wow. I mean, it's bearing fruit, and he cuts it off. Why? So we can see growth. He says he prunes that it might bear more fruit. Jesus goes on to say there, I think in verse 7, as we abide in him, and his word abides in us, and that word abides important. It speaks of dwelling. It speaks of taking up residence. It's not like as you hear the word it's as the you abide in the word. You live in the word. And the word lives in you. It's a part of you. He says you will bear much fruit. So those that bear fruit are pruned that they might bear more fruit. And as they abide in him, they're going to bear much fruit. And there's a progression there, no doubt about it. And again, we don't have time this morning to dive deeply into that passage, but it's a powerful one. And it's the same thing. It's that the branch, Jesus says, and apart from me, you can do nothing. The branch apart from the vine, not connected to the vine, it'll never bear, it'll wither up and die. Just like, if there's an organ in my body that is disconnected from my brain, it will wither up and die. There must be a connection. The source is Christ. Over and over, from different analogy to different analogy, the Word of God says the same thing to you and I. Our lives, our calling is to be connected to Christ. We call it intimacy with Christ, a relationship with Him, a drawing near. And that's what a lot of our different ministries, as you go through the bulletin this morning, you know, this Bible study and that prayer meeting and this thing, it's all centered around our spiritual growth. I pray that you're growing spiritually. If you're not, you have to ask yourself the question, why? I mean, if you're not growing spiritually, why? Usually it's because I'm not heeding the Word of God. I mean, are you in the Word? Well, that's the first point, you know. You got to start there. And are you seeking the Lord? Are you drawing near to God? Are you, you know, even right now, are you listening to the Word? Are you here to say, God, I want to know you? Or are you just kind of here? You know, and I love Bill's analogy, you know. Either you're a pillar or a caterpillar. I love that. I mean, how beautiful it is. It's true, you know. Either you're involved, and when you're involved, you're a pillar. A pillar doesn't mean you're some great, mighty person. Simply means that you're a part of the building. If you go back to the illustration that we saw last week, the building. I mean, a pillar, you're a stone in the wall. You know, or you're a caterpillar that crawls in and crawls out, and that's all you do. I love that because it's true. Either you're one or the other. It's not like, well, I'm kind of in the middle. No, there's no middle. There's either I'm fulfilling my part, walking in my call, connected to the source, Jesus Christ, or I'm not. And I'm not really involved. I'm not, you know, the involvement that God wants from us is ultimately for us. Because when I'm like what I would call a conduit. Now, any of you guys that do electrical, you know what a conduit is. And it's simply a pipe that you use to run things through. Now, it's not something great, you know. You lay it in the foundations of buildings, you know, and you have it there so that you can run wires through it easily. And it's just something that is a vessel to hold things. That's all we are. We're just conduits. And I like to see us, you know, as a conduit, you know, connected to heaven, connected to the Lord, connected in fellowship to the source, and then Christ flowing through us and flowing through us to people. And it's a wonderful, it's called being used by God. It is an exciting thing and it produces growth. And that's God's heart for us. Every one of us, every single one of us, that is God's desire and heart. So there's to be increase, as it says here in the Colossians passage, that we grow with the increase which is from God. Remember that all increase comes from the Lord. Remember what Paul said to the Corinthians in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 6 and 7? He says there, I plant, Apollos waters, but God gives the increase. He says, so that neither he who plants is anything or he who waters, but God who gives the increase. It's God who gives the increase. And it's as we're connected to him. It's as we're in fellowship with him. And so back to our Ephesians passage there. And we look now at verse 16. So we see the growth, the Christ the head, he's the source. And from whom the whole body joint knit together. We covered that by every which joint supplies. Then you look at this word. According to the effective working by which every part does its share. And he'll go on to say that causes growth. Every part does its share. Now, the idea of the according to the effect of working, again in the Greek, these are very strong words that speak of the effect of what it speaks of work. The word effective even speaks of work, speaks of a mighty work. It speaks of God's work. It's the word that is referred to the power of the resurrection earlier on in chapter 1. I mean, it just speaks of the work of God, the work of God. God is at work in our lives. You know, it's him who wills and does in our lives. Paul says to the Philippians in chapter 2, verse 13 of that epistle, that you know, God is at work. God is at work. I love that. And when God is at work in a life of a person, there's excitement. When God is at work in the life of people and they all are in a fellowship together called a church, there's excitement and there's spiritual growth. You know, God works as we gather together and pray. We call out to him. We bring our city before him. We bring our families before him. We bring the unsaved before him. You know, that's the body. It's a beautiful. As we gather together this morning, and I hope we don't crawl out like caterpillars this morning, but we actually, you know, minister to one another. Because that's what God's called us to do. Let's focus in on this word here, which he says, effective working by which every part. Let's look at that word. Every part does its share. That little phrase, every part. First and foremost, you've got to realize that every part, Every one of us are a part. If you're born again and you're in the body of Christ, you have a part to play. You go, well, I'm not really that gifted. I mean, I can't, you know, speak. I can't teach. I get afraid talking to one person. You know, I'm a little, you know, so I'm a little more withdrawn. I can't do this. I can't do that. And oftentimes we think the only place in the ministry is the worship team, preaching, or children's ministry. You know, that's it. Because that's sometimes all people talk about. You know, hey, we need some help in children's ministry. You know, and listen, if you get really irritated with kids real quickly, and you don't like kids, they bother you, children's ministry is not your part. And have mercy on us not to be there. I can guarantee you, if you know you're down there and you're yelling at kids and stuff, it won't be a healthy, growing fellowship down there. So maybe that's not your part. That's not the only place. Time would fail me to list of all of the different giftings and different opportunities there are in the body of Christ to serve. And oftentimes, out of sight, out of mind, you don't see it. But I just think about this morning service right now. I mean, what it took for us to you know, come together this morning. I mean, I walked here into the courtyard this morning a little after 7, and it was set up. I mean, tables are out there, barbecues are out, chairs are out. You know, there's a welcome table out there. There's a, you know, books out there. There's all this stuff. Now, how did that all happen? Children's ministry is all set up. Someone behind the scenes early in the morning said, I can move a table. I can roll thing. I can bring a chair. I can, you know, last Sunday, it was about 3:00. I was getting ready to leave the fellowship, and there were still the guys in the barbecue ministry who right now are serving so that we can have a meal today. And in a few minutes, you'll start smelling. And I know that that's my key to, you know, we got to wrap it up here. But you'll start smelling because I can see I lose all of you guys. But, you know, at 3:00 Sunday afternoon, they're down there cleaning barbecues. Now, I don't know what kind of gift it takes to clean a barbecue. Some of us probably should it. I mean, we might break it. But, you know, the gifts are so different, so diverse. You know, there's one body, but many members. And the question is this morning is, where do you fit? What's your part? You know, that's what we call the gift of helps. You know, there was a group, several groups during first service that were getting together and talking about finances and the Bible. It's called Crown Financial Ministry. Yeah, but there's someone that's got to kind of maybe get some coffee. I went down and there was coffee and donuts in one of the classes, and I was a little tempted between services there. But, you know, someone that went and got that. It does it. A little hospitality. Those things are called spiritual gifts when we use them for the kingdom. There are so many gifts. I mean, I just think about, you know, the worship songs that were up on the overhead this morning. Someone had to put those on there. Someone had to get the backgrounds that go with that and the songs up there. Someone had to put the set together. Someone had to put that bulletin together. You know, so pray for us because Dave's leaving and that's what he does. You know, as he's passing out his flyer, you know, it's like, hey, you made that and you make all of the flyers. So, you know, there, as the Lord moves someone on, the Lord needs to raise someone else up. And a lot of times, we just sit, think, oh, there's nothing for me to do. I mean, I'm not gifted. You know, I don't do that. I'm not good with that. Listen, if you're good with money, you know, you're great with, you like it. You like numbers. I mean, some of us like that. Most of us don't. But there's some of you that we might consider a little weird. You like not like, hey, oh, you know, and being a pastor, I run across the different gifts. And, you know, I love people that love numbers. I'm so glad they're in our accounting department. You are too. Trust me, you're glad I'm not. You know, but that's a gift. And they just love to crunch and you know, figure things out and find where the penny's missing. And that's important. And you know, it's a beautiful thing. That's a gift. And there's a place for you to serve in the church. There are so many different places. I mean, you're good with computers or maybe good with web stuff. Great, you know, designing. I mean, design is huge. There's a couple people in our church that help us out with design. I mean, there's a great need there. I mean, you know, those things don't just, you know, flyers don't just pop out and, you know, cards and this and that and just, you know, editing. You know, we're doing all kinds of stuff for missions. And I mean, there is just endless opportunities to get involved. And every one of us have a part to play. Listen to what Paul says to the Romans in Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12 reads this way. Verse 4, it says this. For as we have many members in one body, but all the members do not have the same function, so we being many are one body in Christ, individual members of one another. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given, he says, let us use them. Now, I like that phrase. Let us use them. We all have gifts. As he says, many differing. Let us use the gifts God has given us. Why? Because you'll be blessed. Why? Because it will cause growth in your life. Look at what it says here in Ephesians. It says, every part does its share, causing growth for the body. As you do your part, there's growth. Now I want to say something that I think is really important this morning. When you aren't using your gift, it affects more than you. It affects the church. It's like a family. And I don't know, you know, I grew up with a brother and a sister. And so there's three of us and our parents. And my wife, she grew up in a family of seven siblings. And, you know, I don't know about you, but in my house, and if you know my mom, there was rules and there was chores. There's still chores if I go over her house. That's why I don't go much. you know, there's chores. Any of you that hung out with my mom or helped her out, you know, the recess on the ranch over there know that she's a hard worker. She gets it done, but she ain't getting it done without you if you're standing next to her. So, you know, there was, you know, the responsibilities for each person. Well, let me just say this. When my brother, who he's not here right now, so I can talk about him. When my brother, who, you know, is a godly guy now and serving the Lord in Sri Lanka and, you know, great guy, but he wasn't always so great. When he wouldn't mow the lawn, and we were supposed to do that together, and they, we had this big window in our living room, which backed up to the backyard, and right where the lawn was. And when I was mowing the lawn back there by myself, and I go, you know, doing my rows, and every time I went by, I looked at him and sitting there watching TV. It affected me that he wasn't doing what he was supposed to do. And there's no question about it. I let him know. Now, in the church, hopefully we're a little more sanctified than I was back in those days. But it affected me. You know, when you've got a household and, you know, little Johnny's supposed to do unload the dishwasher and he doesn't do it, someone has to do it. Life goes on. You know what I'm saying? I mean, it's got to get done. And usually who does it? Mom, she does everything because no one else would do anything. And but sometimes that's how those that are serving in the church feel. And I understand sometimes they get a little frustrated. They feel a little overburdened. And they are. Just like I know I felt frustrated doing the lawns by myself when my brother was supposed to be doing them. And he wasn't. And I was ready to go in there and tell him and maybe punch him. I think I did a couple times. I've been saved since then. But, you know, there is that natural tendency to think, why do I have to do everything? And it's because you have a heart to serve. And you're saying, I want to serve and I love the Lord and I'm going to serve the Lord. And as you serve the Lord, other people aren't. And it affects you. And it doesn't just affect you. It affects the whole of the body. It's like we're just barely getting stuff done when we should be flowing. And I just want to exhort us this morning to realize that this is our church. It's not my church. It's not this certain group's church. This is our church. And if this is our church, what are we called to do in the church. Because we see this here. We see that Jesus Christ is our source, but we have to ask the question, what is our service to the Lord? What's our service? What's the realm that God has called me and you to serve in? Look at 1 Peter chapter 4 with me, would you? 1 Peter chapter 4, I think it really describes what I'm trying to say here this morning. 1 Peter 4, verse 10. Now, verse 11 I've made reference to during our study here, which speaks about giftings and speaks about God supplying and that God would be glorified in all that we do in verse 11 of 1 Peter 4. But verse 10, listen to it. It says, as each one has received a gift, minister it to one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. Notice what it says, as each one. Again, just reiterate, every one of us has what? Received a gift from the source, from Christ. Verse 7 of chapter 4 of Ephesians, we already looked at it, says that he gave gifts to men and that each one has received a gift. You know, if God has given me a gift and I'm not using the gift, I'm rejecting his gift. Think about it. God's given something to me. I'm not using it for his glory, which is the context, verse 11, you can read it there. If I'm not using it for his glory, then I'm basically saying, I don't want your gift. I don't want to be a part of your kingdom. I don't want to serve you, Lord. I don't like this family. You ever heard that? Those of you that know what I'm talking about, have families, or, you know, the grumpy kid that's walking around, I don't want to do it. It just affects the whole family, doesn't it? It brings disunity. Now, I've got 4 kids, and then there's me. I mean, my wife has 5 kids, actually. But, you know, the disunity that can happen when one person has got a attitude isn't lining up to what they're supposed to be doing. When love is flowing in that family, there's such a harmony, there's such a beauty. Now, this is the church. He's our Father, we're his kids. And he's given each of us uniquely gifts according to how he's enabled us. See, he didn't just say, go do something you can't do. He didn't say, go preach if you can't preach. In fact, he don't want you preaching if you can't preach. And he doesn't want you working with kids, you know. And if you're a pyro, don't go into barbecue ministry. You know, I mean, there's just certain areas that you need to serve in. And a lot of times people go, I don't know what I'm gifted to do. Well, I got a great solution for you. Step out and try something. Well, I don't. Well, what do you like? Let's walk through this. I mean, it's pretty basic. What do you like? Well, I like this. Well, okay. Here in the church, there's these things. Try it out. You know, you don't have to make a lifelong commitment that you're gonna work on, the website for the rest of your life. But try it out. See how it goes. You might find that it's fun, enjoyable. You might actually make our website look a lot better. You know, you might be able to. You know, a few more hands will help. No offense, Jeff. Jeff's done wonders, but I know Jeff would say, yeah, come on, you want to help? You know, there's tremendous needs, there's tremendous opportunities to serve God, but people say, I don't know what I'm called to do. Like, you got to hear this audible voice from heaven saying, I want you to go to the church and I want you to answer phones. You're not going to hear an audible voice. I'm pretty sure of it. It's real practical. And here he says, as good stewards of the manifold grace of God, to minister to one another as good stewards means I'm called to be a good steward of what God's given me as I use this in the church, because God's given it to me to give back to the church. Notice it's ministering to one another. Ministering to one another. And God's given it to me, and I'm to be a good steward. God's going to, I got to give an account for what I did with what God gave me. And I want to be the best for the Lord. This morning, God's called me to be a shepherd in this fellowship. God's called me to teach the word to you guys. I take that seriously. I want, and yes, I love you, and of course I care about how you're fed and what's being taught, and that I give you the best. But before that, I got to give the Lord my best. And that's what keeps me going when, you know, there's problems in the church. There is those things, you know that? When there's, you know, complaints about the teaching. What keeps me going is not, wow, everyone's happy. Everyone likes it. I'm going to, you know, put together a message. I'm going to spend my Saturday when everyone else is doing other things and enjoying themselves. So I'm going to give myself to the Word and prayer. Either I can do that with bitterness or I can do that with joy because God's called me and I want to do it with my best and I want to pour my heart into it. And that's the beauty because He's given me a gift. He told me to minister to one another. And He's telling me that that I'm to be a good steward. And I love what it says, the manifold grace of God. Manifold isn't, you know, a car exhaust for those of you guys that work on cars. Manifold, the word in the Greek means to be many-faceted, many-colored, many-sided. It means various, different, diverse gifts. And God's given you, as He sees fit, that would fit you. And He's called you into this local body and placed you. And He says, this is the gift I've given you. And I want you to be a good steward of what I've given you. And all of you have different giftings. And remember, it's according to the grace of God. It's God's grace. And that's what we read in the book of Romans. It was the grace of God. And so I think that, you know, what Paul is saying back to Ephesians, one more point here and we'll go on. But what Paul is saying here in Ephesians 4:16, I mean, it's powerful. Of whom the whole body is joined and knit together by what every joint supplies according to the effect of working by which every part does its share, causes growth for the body. Again, it's going to bring growth. When you grow spiritually, the body grows. When all of us are in our right place and all of us are serving the Lord and all of us are growing, the body, the church is growing. That's true church growth. We're maturing. And we've already covered the idea of edifying itself. It's a building up of itself. You know, people, well, the church is this and it lacks this. Well, let's do something about it. Who's going to build it? Who does it say builds it? Itself. The church builds itself as we follow the Lord, as we walk through the things we've seen here. But notice how it's built. It's built in love. And just to follow our S's this morning, from source to service to sincerity. Love is something that must be sincere. Sincere. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 21 or 22 says this, since you have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit in sincere love for the brethren, love one another fervently with a pure heart. Now, I've got two pages of verses up here that I want to read to you. So if you want to follow, you're very welcome, but I'm going to speed through them. If you want to write them down, I'd encourage you to. But notice what Peter says here, that our love is to be sincere. When I think of sincere, I think of authentic. I think it's something, you know, I was talking with Brian Broderson, pastor over at Calvary Chapel, Costa Mesa, and we were at a conference together and we were talking and he was just talking about, you know, the church growth movement and then now we're getting into, you know, the emerging church and he said one thing to the emerging church people, which we obviously stand against, but one thing that they've done well and it's kind of made them successful is they've sought to be sincere, real. And they're reaching a culture, though they've left the Word of God, and I don't think really they're reaching the culture ultimately, and years will tell us of that. But there's an authenticity. People want that. People in the generation we live, and every generation does, but there's such a lack of it today. And you know, there's such a lack, I think, in the church. Of just, you know, someone says one thing, but they don't follow through with it. Or they say they love you, but they don't really. And people are seeking something real. And what they're seeking is Christ. Christ is the most authentic thing that we can ever give anyone. But when Christ is alive in our lives individually, in the church body corporately, which the two go hand in hand, People are going to see Christ. I know I came to Christ and grew up in a church atmosphere which was very authentic. It was real. I mean, people got saved and we put away our drugs and our alcohol and our immorality and all our stuff. And we gave our lives to Jesus Christ and it changed our lives. And other people saw that. And they wanted what we had. I mean, I can remember having people say to me, I want what you got. That's one of the most greatest things. And you want to talk about an open door. But it wasn't what they heard me say. It's what they saw in me. And no doubt about it, I had a pretty big transformation take place. You might not say that to me as much today because you didn't see me before, but they did. These are old friends of mine and whatnot. And I want what you see. What you got is real. Do people see that in our lives? Do people, and I'll tell you where it starts right here. This phrase, in love. Love. True agape love is what every single person is seeking after and is one of the most authentic things for God himself is love. And the love of Christ being manifested through his people is more important than anything else we can do. And I'm not sidelining the important things, but if we have all the things, if we have a good theology, if we have good, you know, youth group, we got great camps and we got, you know, great food and we've got great facilities and we got this and have that and we have all that. And what does Paul say to the Corinthians? And we have not love, it profits nothing. He says, if you give your body to be burned. I mean, I couldn't think, that sounds like someone that's real authentic. It's really filled with love. He says, you could give your body to be burned at the stake, but have not love, it profits you nothing. That's what people need. People need love. And that's sincere love. We as a church, and we wrap up this 7 weeks of studying this, and I pray we could just have this ingrained. We as a church need to realize that God has called us to love one another. Now, I'm going to read these verses to you. And I want you to listen to that phrase, love one another. Love one another. I'm in Peter, so I'm just going to stay there. Chapter 4, 1 Peter, verse 8. Jot these down. 1 Peter 4, 8. And above all things, have fervent, I like that, fervent, zealous, love for one another. For love will cover a multitude of sin. Hallelujah to that. How many of us in here go, I need that. I need love because I got a multitude of sin. It needs to be covered, not revealed. Love will cover a multitude of sin. John writes, John is the apostle of love. And John writes, really quoting Jesus. He's recording the words of Jesus. The Gospel of John, chapter 13, verses 34 and 35. Jesus says, a new commandment I give to you, that you love one another, as I have loved you, that you also love one another. For by this, all will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another. And in chapter 15, verse 12 of the Gospel of John, he says, this is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Verse 17 of John 15, he says, these things I command you, that you love one another. 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 12 says, and may the Lord make you increase, there's that word, grow, and abound in love to one another and to all, just as we did to you. Wow. May the Lord, and it's a prayer, may the Lord make you increase and abound in love towards one another and to all. That was one of the rare verses of, oh yeah, by the way, love the world too. I mean, that's kind of a common thing, a given thing, to be a witness. And but first, we got to love one another. First, the church has to love the church. 1 Thessalonians 4:9 says, But concerning brotherly love, we have no need that I should write to you, for you yourselves are taught by God to love one another. Again, 1 Thessalonians 4:9. That's a good one. You're what? Taught by God. Isn't that true? That if you're born again, you're taught by God to love one another. Not easy. Doesn't mean we do it all the time, but we're taught by the Holy Spirit, convicted by God, that we're to love one another. A couple more. John is so full of them, so I'm going to give you some more of John. The epistle of John, 1 John. I mean, it's so filled with it. 1 John 3:11 says this, "For this is the message that you heard from the beginning, that we should love one another." This is the elementary, basic foundation message you've heard from the beginning. And he's probably quoting what Jesus said, which I already read in John, the Gospel of John in chapter 13 there. First John chapter 3 verse 23 says this, "For this is his commandment, that we should believe on the name of his Son Jesus Christ and love one another as he gives us commandment." So here's the commandment. Believe on Jesus. All right, obviously that's important. Believe on the name of the Son of God and love one another. They go together. They go together. 1 John 4:7. One of the most beautiful verses on love in all of the Bible. "Beloved, if God so loves us, we also ought to love one another." Excuse me. I skipped one. Again, I'm in chapter 4, verse 7. I thought that sounded weird. "Beloved, let us love one another." Because, you know, there's a song that goes to it. And I start getting this little rhythm in me. I won't sing it. "Beloved, let us love one another. For love is of God, and everyone who loves is born of God and knows God." Wow. You know, we were taught by God to love one another. He says, let us love one another, for love is of God. 1 John 4 tells us God is love. Everyone that's born of God, that's saved. Everyone born of God, he says, love is of God, and everyone who loves God is born of God. It's an evidence of being born of God. It's an evidence of loving God. Loves. Everyone that's born of God, loves God, is born of God, and knows God. The evidence of me loving you is the evidence of me being a Christian. Wow, that's heavy. We really need to think about that. Verse 11 and 12. "Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God abides in us, and his love has been perfected or matured in us." The last one, chapter 4 still, 1 John, verses 20 and 21. "If anyone says, 'I love God,' and hates his brother, he is a liar. For he who does not love his brother whom he has seen, how can he love God who he has not seen? And this commandment we have from him, that he who loves God must love his brother also." In love. Three times we find that phrase in our passage in chapter 4 there of Ephesians 1 through 16. Verse 2, it says in love. It says that we're to walk in humility and lowliness and gentleness, bearing with one another in love. Verse 12, that we're to edify the church, build up the church in love. And then this verse 16 that we're closing with this morning, that we're to edify ourselves in love. As we love God, the natural response will be to love our brother, to love our sister. With an agape love, with a love that's defined for us in 1 Corinthians 13. An assignment I want to give to you, for those of you that are students, to study 1 Corinthians 13 this week. Just say, you know what, I want to just refresh my heart. And to really get in there and study it. Allow God to speak to us and show us areas of our lives that we might serve and do this and do that, but if we don't have love, it profits nothing. And it's certainly the capstone, if you would, on a building, as they would say in the old covenant. It's the you know, pinnacle. It's the icing on the cake. It's without love, all that we do profits nothing. And first and foremost, our love for God, our source, Christ. Our service in God's kingdom is motivated from love for God and for His people. And as we do it, we're going to build each other up. And let me just say this. If each of us have come together today to love God and love one another, people are going to be built up. For Hebrews tells us that we're to come together to consider one another in order to stir up love and good works. Stir up love and good works. I pray that you find your place, if you haven't found it yet, here in this body. And you serve the Lord. And you let the love of God flow through you. And let God do that work. It is such a joy to be a vessel, a conduit for God to work through. That we might be able to say that God is at work in me. As we will say, God is at work amongst us. And He's doing His work through us. Then we're ready to go and to reach the world with the gospel of Jesus Christ. We got something to give them. We got Christ. Very authentic, very real. And God is doing that work in us. Let's pray. Father, we thank you once again for God, the book of Ephesians. It's been such a treat, Father. I know for me, God, to just study this again and to be stirred once more. Help us to love one another. Even now, Lord, help us to minister to one another. God, as good stewards of the manifold grace of God, help us to serve one another. God, I pray that you would just pour out your Spirit amongst us, that, Lord, we might increase in the knowledge of you and in the abiding in you and your word abiding in us, and that we might know you and fellowship with you, and that, Lord, your love might just flow through us. That each person here today would leave this place knowing how real you are, how true you are, how right you are. And God, that they might be touched by your love. We bless you. We praise you. And we worship you. And it's in Jesus' name.